I'm Julie Burstein in for Leonard Lope today, and I'm going to have a hard time staying in my seat if we listen to more music like that. It's the music of Eddie Palmieri, who's known as the son of Latin music because he spent his life incorporating influences from his parents' native country, Puerto Rico, into the music he first played as a young man in Spanish Harlem with the first wave of Latin dance bands. Today, we can also refer to Mr. Palmieri as a father of Latin music. Last month, he was named a jazz master by the National Endowment for the Arts. He'll be appearing at SOBs tonight for his first appearance in the U.S. since this award was announced, and I am pleased that it brings Latin jazz legend, pianist, and bandleader Eddie Palmieri to the Leonard Lope Show. Hello.
Oh, hello, Julie. It's good to be. I'm glad you said father, not grandfather.
Uncle, brother, master is probably the best word. And I wanted to ask you about that. You know, this award is something that's been given to pianists like Count Basie and J.J. Johnson.
Those are the jazz giants, and I'm quite honored to the highest degree to have been chosen and awarded the most prestigious jazz award that can be given. And I really appreciate that in my heart.
What does being a master mean to you? You know, now you're given that title, but you've been giving your music to people for a long time.
Well, the reason that it's really quite special to me, because I'm not really a jazz pianist, okay? I respect that to the highest degree, to know the jazz repertoires, and that's something very special. I dedicated my life to the Latin music, which it started Afro-Cuban. Then it became Afro-Caribbean, and now it's known as Afro-World. But when it was known naturally as Afro-Cuban, I dedicated the last 62 years in collecting records, knowing about the Cuban orchestras, their structures, why did they excite me in less than 3 minutes when I would listen to them on a 78, for example. And everything was hunky-dory. I learned it intuitively, the structures that put you to death. And then I learned them scientifically when I went with a teacher called Mr. Bob Bianco that gave me my jazz harmony lessons and plus brought me into the world of Joseph Schillinger, who was a Russian scientist mathematician. And that helped me tremendously. And I believe that the jazz artists that I do know, starting from Mr. Thelonious Monk that we met, Mr. Miles Davis that I've closed shows for him in Montreux, Switzerland, I would have to say Kenny Kirkland, Branford Marcellus, and the pianist from Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea that I know, and you know, we've shared the bandstands together. So my harmonic structures that I utilize in my playing and in my writing has given me that acknowledgement to them, and I believe that certainly helped me win the award. I'm very, very excited about it.
It's interesting to hear you talk about this growth and from reading about your background. You started playing music when you were a young boy. You were playing with your uncle's band as a very young kid.
Well, my uncle, his name was Chino Gates, J-U-E-I-T-S. But eventually, when my brother and I were doing so well, he changed his name to Chino Palmieri. My father wouldn't let him have it. But he started me. I was 13 years old, and I was so in awe of Mr. Tito Puente, the greatest bandstand warrior that we've had, and my brother Charlie Palmieri with his pianist. And the band consists of Manny Oquendo, a bongo, Mongo Santa Maria, Vicentico Valdez, the Cuban singer. And I saw them at 15 years old. And then by 13, I was already playing timbales with my uncle. He used to call his group El Chino y su alma tropical, his tropical heart, okay? But my mother was so wise that she bought me a case that was heavier than two or three pairs of timbales. And then she would wait for my uncle to honk his station wagon to go to work or whatever. And as soon as I tried to pick up the box, she would say, Eduardo, in Spanish, Eduardo, don't you see how beautiful your brother looks when he goes to work and he doesn't have to carry an instrument? When will you learn, Eduardo? because I was already on the piano by 8 years old, and I had a great concert teacher. She was Afro-American, Miss Margaret Barnes, and she did the Negro history books, classical books, and a great, great teacher. She taught at Carnegie Hall in the studio.
They would rent up there.
Okay. My brother was a student, then he recommended me. So I already had, you know, preparation. Then I did a...
And was this classical piano? So you were learning...
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And I did at the Wild Theater next door. I did an evaluation for professors and played Bach, some Chopin. But it was always the timbales, you know. But my mother got me out of that. That was either that or excuse the instruction. I was going to land up with a hernia. So what I did, I told my uncle, I made him a deal he couldn't refuse. And I went back on the piano at 15, and I've never gotten off. But I love the percussion. I love timbales. And once in a while, I'll get up and take a solo, you know, and then I'll sit down at the piano again.
Well, you know, it's something that I often forget about, and that is that the piano is a percussion instrument,
That's
too.
Right. Merely because you have the hammers that hit the strings.
So did you find your love for the drums coming through in the way that you approached the piano?
Well, I have to give you an example. The great Donald Harrison, the alto man from New Orleans, when he was also with the Jazz Messages with Brian Lynch. We were traveling together, and he's listening. And he goes, "You know something?" And I'm hearing you solo like a drummer.
How interesting!
And it's true because the percussive rhythmical patterns are really embedded in me, and my brother too. We use that on the piano. Then with a great piano technique that my brother had and that I learned through Miss Margaret Barnes and a gentleman called Claudio Savadera, who graduated from Brooklyn Conservatory, the independence of each finger, like commanding them to attention, 2, 4, 3, 3, 3, whatever I tell them, it took me years to do that, enabled me then to take a solo on a record that was now nominated to the Library of Congress, Azúcar, which is Azúcar Pa' Ti. And in that recording in 1965, which we broke all precedent of the 2:45, we went 8:30. I take a solo with one hand holding a typical riff, and the other one is soloing freely, so it's subdividing the brain on that, and it became very interesting. I've always used that, and it's a part of my signature.
It sounds like Charles Ives in a way, where you do one thing with one hand and one thing with the other hand, and
multitasking or texting or whatever.
Yeah, but what I'm also hearing is that learning new things has always been something that you've been drawn to.
Oh, of course, of course, of course.
We're going to get a chance to listen to a little bit of one of your songs because I wanted to talk with you about the trombone.
Okay.
That seems to be an instrument that really you've woven into the fabric of the music that you play. So let's listen to a little bit of this. This is Muñeca from the album Eddie Palmieri and Friends.
Tell you a great story about that.
So, tell me the story about this piece.
Well, first of all, the one you opened up the show with, that's a Bambolete. I did that with Cal Jader. We exchanged artists. I did one album for his company, and he did one for mine. As far as the trombone is concerned, I always wanted a conjunto. That meant three trumpets, like Tito Puente, Tito Rodriguez. I had conjuntos. The big band was always Machito, with five saxes and that. We started a band in late 61. 60, I'd started, after I left Tito Rodriguez. And you couldn't get the trumpet players. They wanted the Class A scale, and that it was hard to get constantly. So I go to a social club that I knew the owner in the Bronx. And Johnny Pacheco, who was very popular after he made his charanga, he left my brother's band, the string. Charanga means the violins with strings and flute from Cuba, that style orchestra. Pacheco stood with my brother, then recorded an album for United Artists with my brother. Then he made his own charanga, became a tremendous hit. He sold about 100,000 45s. We never even heard of anything like that at that time. And on Tuesdays, then he would do a jam session. And when I went in there, I see this trombone player, which was quite extraordinary, and it was Barry Rogers. And Barry Rogers, as I find out later, was truly a genius. He was if God is perfection, and then he was near perfection. Everything he did, he was a great driver, a great mechanic, great photographer. He sailboating with his father. I mean, but a real sailboat. I mean, no kidding around now, you know. And he walked around tuning my pianos. They were in such bad shapes on the gigs.
So he would tune them?
With a tuning fork. And he came up with the first sound system for me. And if they and in this memoriam, I made Michael Brecker laugh because and his brother Randy, because what happened was if you kicked it, it was very delicate, the wires. Don't worry about it. Barry would open up his trombone and take out a mini soldering iron and mend it right there in the band's hand. No, unbelievable. He was just truly unbelievable. And there's no one that ever played with him. He taught me about the instrument, the trombone, and in what range usually is played in. And he was self-taught. So we played in a range that is beyond the norm in trombone playing. And you heard that intro in Muñeca there. That's a G going, goes up to a high C, which only the musicians will know. But it stands out, you know. And it's the orchestra that changed the whole concept of an orchestra in New York City. There was no orchestra like that. Trombones were seen in trombone sections, but never up front, you know. And plus, he sang coro with these Mael Quintana, and we had George Castro, the wooden flute, and we used different trombone players until Barry finds Jose Rodriguez, Brazilian, came in from Santo Domingo, and that combination will never be equal of what they did in the trombone.
It's so beautiful, and the character of it is so different than if you heard it on trumpets.
Right. And then we're fortunate now because I met Mr. Conrad Erwick, and he's my compay. I baptized his son, Glenn, and I would have to say that Conrad is one of the greatest trombonists that's ever played that instrument, too.
So you began playing in dance bands, and now you play mostly in concerts.
Right.
Is it different? I mean, I have to say, listening to your music over the past few days, I find it very hard to stay in my seat. Is it hard to play for an audience that has to stay in their seat?
Well, I missed the enemy. I used to call the dancers the real enemy. It was who's going to knock who out first. And we had that opportunity in the Palladium, the greatest dancers and the greatest orchestras. And I had the greatest honor to be respected to the degree that when we closed the night, we closed with Azúcar. And the word was, if you're thinking of dancing Azúcar, wait till Eddie Palmieri finishes his piano solo and then start dancing, otherwise you'll never make it. And it was a wonderful, wonderful to see. When you have great dancing, it stimulates the band, and the band stimulates the dancers, so it's wonderful. But now I do have them dancing in the seats, you know, and we enjoy that. And then they can't stand it, so they get up and dance to the side. So, but it's great.
That's when you know you've really done your job. It's when they get up and start dancing.
And we've been traveling all over. And we just came from Europe. We did two tours already. We're leaving again Tuesday. We'll meet Ruben Blades in France. And then I do two more. I go to Sardinia and then Frankfurt. I fly from there right to the Hollywood Bowl with Ruben Blades again in California. From there, right to Colombia, South America. 3 days off and then to South Africa. Johannesburg, which I've never been, come back 7 days or something like that off, and then I leave for Japan.
Well, we're very lucky that you've decided to take at least one day here in your hometown in New York City so that
By October, I my opinion is you could pick me up with a blotter.
But it also sounds like those dancers, that this continuing to do what is in your heart, to play this music, is what keeps you going.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And to bring the happiness under the conditions that exist all over the world now, the sadness of where I just came from Spain and the protests and everything going haywire economically. And when you perform for them at that amount of time that I'm performing, they're not thinking about anything else but dancing and enjoying the band, because the band is not only exciting to dance to, it's exciting to watch and to listen to. So it'll be there tonight at SOBs.
Yes, tonight at SOBs, Eddie Palmieri. We're going to go out with the tune that was named to the Library of Congress. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Julie.